Well, what a good meeting it's been so far, yeah? Wasn't yesterday an absolutely beautiful day? The weather was stunning. So Luke and I made the most of the weather and we headed off out to the city of Perth to give out a couple of homeless care packages. And on the way, I at least three times saw the name Jesus as graffiti on walls. And when I got to the third time I saw it, I said, Luke, are you seeing what I'm seeing? Are you seeing the name of Jesus? And it started on Tonkin Highway, Jesus. And Luke said, yeah, but he was a bit conflicted because he didn't like the idea of Christians vandalizing properties with graffiti. And so he said as much. And I said, yeah, that is an issue, but maybe it's not a Christian. Maybe it's from someone from South America with the name Jesus. And he's just tagging everywhere his name. But we get the benefit now because I was benefiting from it, from seeing the name Jesus as we're going out to do something for Jesus. It was really cool. It's a beautiful experience giving out the care packages. Don't miss out on that beautiful experience. Over the last 17 years of pastoring this church, I have preached this sermon at least twice. I make no apologies for repeating it again today because to do what this sermon implores you to do is so very good for your soul. Have you noticed how anything that God really wants you to do in the Bible is really good for you? It's good for you mentally and physically and emotionally. Whatever God asks you to do is actually always good for you. It's never bad for you. You will be a better person inside and out if you are persuaded to make a change. Before I start, I've got a couple of true animal stories to stimulate your thinking concerning the subject matter we'll be dealing with. The first I found in the Reader's Digest called Good Dog. Could I have that first picture? One morning, I opened the door to get the newspaper and was surprised to see a strange little dog without paper in his mouth. Delighted with his unexpected delivery service, I fed him some treats. The following morning, I was horrified to see the same dog sitting in front of our door, wagging his tail, surrounded by eight newspapers. I spent the rest of that morning returning the papers to their owners. The second story is an article from Bits and Pieces called Bird Dog. During quail season in Georgia, an Atlanta journalist made an old farmer hunting with an ancient met an old farmer hunting with an ancient pointer at his side. Twice the dog ran rheumatically ahead and pointed. Twice his master fired into the open air. When the journalist saw no birds rise, he asked the farmer for an explanation. Shucks, grinned the old man. I knew there weren't no birds in that grass. Spot's nose ain't what it used to be, but him and me have had some wonderful times together. He's still doing the best he can, and it'd be mighty mean of me to call him a liar at this stage of the game. And finally, Bruce Larson, in his book Wind and Fire, points out some interesting facts about sandhill cranes. These large birds who fly great distances across continents have three remarkable qualities. First, they rotate leadership. No one bird stays out in the front all the time. Second, they choose leaders who can handle the turbulence. And thirdly, during the time one bird is leading, the rest are honking their affirmation. That's not a bad role model for the church, is it? Certainly we need leaders who can handle the turbulence and who are aware that leadership ought to be shared. But most of all, we need a church where we are all honking encouragement. Honking encouragement is the title of my sermon today. I almost want to ask you all to honk, but I won't. Who did that? Who did that? Was that you, Daniel and Elise? That was very good.
I just stand back down, like, chase it away from the fish pond, and it flew away going,
Oh, okay. All right. Pastor Bree is delivering a very similar message to our children's church today. You should see the activity she's prepared for them to do. It's really cool. William Barclay, one of the great Bible commentary writers of last century, said, "One of the highest human duties is the duty of encouragement. It is easy to laugh at men's ideals. It is easy to pour cold water on their enthusiasm. It is easy to discourage others. The world is full of discouragers. We have a Christian duty to encourage one another. Many a time a word of praise, thanks, appreciation, or cheer has kept a man on his feet. Blessed is the man who speaks such a word." Let us pray. Lord, I pray this morning that through this simple word, you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will encourage us to honk encouragement to each other. If any person is here hearing this message is downcast, may they be lifted as they focus on your will for them. Amen. Amen. Encouragement. We all need it in our faith, in our Christian walk with the Lord. We really do. I need it. You need it. And because we all need it, then really we should give it. One of the foundational spiritual principles of the kingdom of God to which us Christians belong is the law of the harvest. Actually, Jordan read about it. It comes up and up and up again throughout the Bible. The law of the harvest, the law of sowing and reaping. If you sow, you will reap. When you apply the law of the harvest to the topic of this sermon, encouragement, it works. If you lack for something within yourself, then go and put something or sow into someone else's life, and you will reap goodness within yourself. If you this morning are feeling low, if you are feeling discouraged, if you feel that what you are doing is meaningless and you've lost your zip or zing for Jesus, then this is the best remedy for you. Go and encourage someone else in their spiritual walk, and you will reap the benefits of it in your own life. It's beautiful. You will. That's the law of the harvest. You sow, you reap. Sow good things and you will reap goodness. Sow selfishness and you will reap emptiness and dissatisfaction. Sow complacency and you reap nothing. It's a kingdom principle. The Bible tells us to seek first His kingdom and all the other things shall be added to you. If you put into God's kingdom first by way of encouraging a brother or sister in the Lord so that they can better serve the kingdom, then God will take care of the stuff that matters to you. He will. And if He doesn't, He'll change how you feel about the stuff that matters to you. It works. The law of the harvest. But let me alert you to the fact that true Christian encouragement demands more than a few simple words of praise. Just like the sandhill cranes, which do more than honk encouragement, more is required from us when we really look into the scriptures concerning Christian encouragement. Don't get me wrong, words of praise are very important. I love words of praise. I love it on a Sunday morning when someone comes up to me and says something really good. Actually, Desma, you are very good at words of praise. One Sunday morning, she came up and said something, and she said it purely to encourage me. And it really lifted my soul. It was only a couple of weeks ago. Do you know, I walked on that encouragement for a whole week. I did. It was just so beautiful. I pray that we would or give more genuine words of praise. But encouragement is not just about words of praise. For when the two New Testament writers wrote about encouragement, there was a much deeper meaning behind it. I've got some scriptures that I hope Eve has got ready for me. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 2. "We sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith." 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Hebrews 3, verse 12 to 13. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And Hebrews 10, verse 23 to 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Looking at these scriptures, a lot of church has to do with us encouraging each other, wouldn't you say? Look at that last scripture. We meet together to encourage each other in our faith. You can't do that if you come in quick, sing a few songs, listen to the sermon and go without talking to anybody, can you? That's impossible to be an encouragement. You've got to talk with people. You've got to have relationships with people. All these scriptures have a common theme. They encourage us to be an encouragement. Now, the ancient Greek word for encourage is parakaleo. Have we got that there? Parakaleo. Para means by the side, as in the word parallel, two lines side by side. Para, by the side. Kaleo means to call. Para, by the side. Kaleo means to call. So parakaleo means to call someone to your side. To call someone to your side. And because they are by your side, you support them. You have called them to your side with the full purpose of helping and assisting them. You may comfort them. You may prod them. You may be their advocate. You may uphold them. You may defend them. You may protect them. Parakaleo, to call someone to your side. The Apostle Paul saw parakaleo of paramount importance. There's another word with para. Paramount, meaning by the side of a mountain. The importance of something compares with the magnitude of a high mountain. It's amazing how much ancient Greek we have in today's language still, isn't it? Paul saw parakaleo of paramount importance within the early church, because this small group of people, of new Christians, had a huge job to do in evangelizing the world, a world that would be hostile to them. And they needed to work as a team to support and encourage each other. Not just say nice things to each other, but support each other. Parakaleo, working together side by side. Comfort one another side by side. Strengthen one another side by side. Prod one another side by side. To praise one another side by side. To pray with one another side by side. In other words, come on, you can do it. We can do this together. Let me help you. Come here. Come on. I'll give you a hand. Get up. Get up. Let's do this together. Let's serve the Lord together. If the early church had not practiced parakaleo, then the spread of the gospel would have been stunted, and you and I may not be sitting here today. The early church found a great source of strength in its spiritual unity, in its relationships and fellowship. There's a fellow in the New Testament whose characters always impress me. And he obviously impressed the apostles too, because he was given a new name by the apostles. His original name was Joseph, and Joseph is a good name. If that's your name, it's a great name. Nothing wrong with Joseph. But his name was changed by the apostles to Barnabas, which meant son of encouragement. The apostles had obviously observed this precious gift of encouragement this man had, and this God-given gift was so powerful that they named him after it. Encouragement. That's what Barnabas means. Here he comes. Encouragement. Encouragement is here. Hello, encouragement. How are you today? Hey, everybody, it's encouragement. You certainly would have to live up to that one, wouldn't you, if that was your name? In fact, that sort of name would encourage you to be the name, wouldn't it? I mean, you couldn't sit in the corner and sulk with a name like encouragement. Barnabas was exactly what they called him. His life so encouraged the apostles and others within the church that they had to give him the name. What sort of name would the church give you if we had to name you by your character? Impatient? Moody bum? Always happy chappy? Grumpy? Stingy, we're sounding like the dwarfs, aren't we? Helpful, adorable. Maybe we should have a naming meeting one day. But the early church encouraged Barnabas's gift of encouragement by naming him encouragement. They encouraged his encouragement. He encouraged the apostles and others, not just by saying nice things, but his life, everything he did, displayed his gift. Read with me Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Watch this. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. Now Joseph, a Levite, a Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. What an encouragement. Barnabas wasn't just saying, amen, I agree with you. He was siding up with the apostles in his very giving. In his giving, he was demonstrating parakaleo. I'm with you. I support the gospel you preach with my money. City View Church's Missions Sunday, which is happening next Sunday, is a demonstration of parakaleo. We're saying to our missionaries, we are with you. We support the work you do, not just by our prayers, but by our money. We are with you. Here's another example of Barnabas' gift of encouragement. Most of us know that before the Apostle Paul was saved, his name was Saul, and he was a very busy man persecuting the Christians until he became wonderfully saved himself. In Acts 9, verse 22, it describes Saul after his conversion to Christianity. Let's read it. But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that this Jesus is the Christ. When many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him, but their plot became known to Saul. They were always watching the gates day and night so that they might put him to death. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a large basket. When he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how Saul had seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked to him and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. Because of Barnabas, Saul was able to stay with the disciples, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. But Barnabas took hold of Saul and brought him to the apostles. That's paracleo, isn't it? Barnabas called Saul to his side to protect, comfort, encourage, and promote him to the disciples of Jesus. Barnabas saw the potential in Saul and did something about it. He brought him to his side. Come on, Saul, you're with me. I'm going to see you through. I'm going to help you develop your ministry. I'll tell the apostles your story. I will be your advocate. And he did. And as a result, Paul flourished. His ministry became firmly established. Just think about it. The apostle Paul, who penned around 28% of the New Testament, who happens to be one of my favorite characters in the Bible, can attribute his early success to Barnabas, the son of encouragement. Where would he have been without Barnabas? Barnabas continued to paracleo Paul when Paul moved full-time into his missionary work. Barnabas was there helping him and supporting his ministry physically. He wasn't just saying, well done, Paul, that was a really good sermon, but Barnabas was actually there doing the hard yards with Paul. Here's another example, Acts 15, verses 36 to 39. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brethren, every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord, and see how they are. Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. And Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. What was Barnabas really doing in this story? What was he doing? He was encouraging Mark, the one who'd let them down. The fact is, Mark had deserted them in the middle of an important missions trip, and Paul didn't want to risk that happening again. I don't blame Paul. I can understand where he's coming from. But Barnabas couldn't help himself. He was a son of encouragement. He saw the potential in Mark despite the previous failures, and he called Mark to his side to disciple him. That's a gift. That's a gift. And it worked, because much later on in Scripture, even Paul, whilst in prison, requested in one of his letters that Mark be sent to him, for he was a good worker. When have you really taken someone to your side and encouraged them for the sake of the kingdom? Church, let's look at the spiritual potential in others and do something about it. Let's fly in godly formation, wing to wing, honking encouragement and taking turns at sharing the workload, caring, loving and sharing God's grace with each other. That is what the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is all about. We are different from any other institution in the world. I strongly implore you that we all make a resolution to be an even greater encouragement to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to paracleo one another. Today, after church, while we're eating our beautiful apple pie, which is Juanita's favourite sweets, she told me the other day, while we're eating our apple pie, make it your aim to encourage at least one person in this congregation who you know you don't normally encourage. Reach out and bless someone. Extend beyond yourself. Encouragement isn't really about you, is it? It's about the other person totally. Extend beyond yourself. And if you're feeling lousy, that's great, because that means you're not really going to think about yourself, are you? You're extending beyond yourself to someone else. Be happy for someone else. Be encouraging to someone else. Care about someone else. Who knows what seeds you will be sowing in your own back garden when you make an effort to sow into someone else. You know, I reckon Barnabas would have been one of the most loved people around. He would, because he used to sow into so many people's lives. He would have been so loved, and he would have been so joyous and content in himself, because he didn't even have to think about himself. He was thinking about everybody else. Get outside of yourself. This world, social media talks about self, 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 self. We're different. It's about others. It's about others. Jesus came for the world, for others. If you care for others and love others as God loves others, he's going to really love you and care for you. But if you're so busy running around just after yourself, God don't need to do anything. You're doing it all for yourself anyway. Just have some faith. Look outside of yourself to others so that God can do something in you. It's the law of the harvest. Let's do some digging and some planting seeds, and let's watch them grow as we serve our Saviour. Amen? Amen? Amen. That's the truth. That is the truth. What I've been speaking is the truth. Just read for yourself this week the book of Acts and have a look at Barnabas and be encouraged. Would the band please come on up? And as they're coming, let us just pray. Heavenly Father, help us all to be an encouragement to others, even to those that, hey, we might feel like we don't like them that much, but Lord, I pray that we will be an encouragement as you have been an extreme encouragement to us, Lord. Lord, I pray that we will be obedient to your word today. Help us to get outside of ourselves and love the world as you loved the world. Lord, we just thank you for the life of Barnabas, and we thank you that we have this story here today to learn from. And I pray that we will do exactly that, that we will learn from this story and plant in the lives of others, sow in the lives of others, and be an encouragement to our children, to the babies, to the elderly folk, to everybody in this place. Help us be an encouragement to others as they grow in you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let us stand.